In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God. Amen. Ebenezer Scrooge sat alone at his kitchen table. He counted his money over and over. Ebenezer had accumulated much wealth. He really had too much money for his own good. Yet he never had enough. He could have done so much good with that money, but he hoarded it. In his stinginess, he robbed his good and loyal employee, Bob Cratchit, of a decent wage. But Ebenezer Scrooge, the man who had too much money, really had nothing. When he slept, his sleep was fitful, and his dreams were full of fear. His dreams were dominated by demons and ghosts of Christmases, past and present and future. Ebenezer Scrooge, the miser, was a miserable human being. The miser was miserable. Those two words describe the man and his soul's condition. Miser and miserable. If we compare Ebenezer's great worldly wealth to Bob Cratchit's worldly wealth, as far as money goes, Ebenezer was by far the greater success. But Ebenezer's harsh demeanor and lonely life would have been hard-pressed to give any hint of peace or accomplishment. Compare Scrooge's home life to Bob Cratchit's home life, a life that was full of life and love. Even the meager fixings for the Cratchit Christmas table were blessed. Even Tiny Tim, Bob's sickly young son, was more alive than the wealthy Ebenezer Scrooge. For you see, Ebenezer's life was what the preacher of Ecclesiastes, the great King Solomon, what he called vanity, which means mere breath. Breath. Ebenezer lived a life that was empty, a life that droned on and on, a life that was empty because he had no Lord and he had no hope. He searched endlessly for the meaning of life in wealth, never to find it. He lived a life of vanity, of mere breath, of endless, boring repetition, of counting the same old money over and over and over, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. In verse 10 from our Ecclesiastes text, the preacher, King Solomon, says the man who loves money will not be satisfied by wealth. His desire is vanity. His desire is mere breath. In his dream, Ebenezer gets a look at the people who show up to help consume his goods after he dies. What good has his goods done him? None at all. Stacked up and counted, but without use or purpose. The preacher of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, tells us of a grievous evil he has observed, whereby greedy men keep their riches to their own harm. Many of those who hoard their riches will lose them in bad ventures, whether it be a falling stock market, a drought, bad health, family problems, or other calamities. The wealthy man will go to his grave as he came into the world without any worldly possessions. What does he gain who toiled for wealth? He spends his days and nights, as Ebenezer Scrooge spent his days and nights, alone in darkness, too stingy to light a candle or turn on the lights. He eats alone in darkness. His soul is troubled and perplexed to the point that he becomes angry and sick. The preacher, King Solomon, the son of King David, advised that it is fitting that the man who toils under the sun should enjoy his food and drink. And further, God has given a great gift to the man who has wealth and is able to enjoy it. A wealthy man who can accept his position in life and rejoice in that position has been given a great gift. God keeps this man busy enjoying the gifts given to him. He shares his gifts with those in need. He gets great joy out of sharing. He doesn't have time to remember the days of his life. He doesn't have time to remember his failings, his struggles, because God keeps him busy with joy in his heart. The preacher of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, speaks of life without God's word as vanity, mere breath. Life without God's promises is meaningless. There is no hope without God's word. There is only vanity of all vanities. Ashes of dust blowing in the winds of time and bound for hell. From our Hebrews text, quoting, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." End of the scripture reading. God sees all, and God knows all. He knows what we do with the riches that he has given to us in this world. Years after King Solomon, another of King David's sons, Jesus of Nazareth, stated, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who could be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Thanks be to God," right? Even before God pronounced the curse on Adam and all humanity, God gave Adam the promise of salvation. There would be one to come who would put enmity between the serpent, Satan, and Satan's offspring, the sons and daughters of men. He would crush Satan's head, though Satan would crush his heel. God so loved the world that before he pronounced toil and death upon mankind, he gave to the man the promise of salvation through the one to come who would defeat sin, death, and the devil. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, suffered and died so that sin and death would have no lasting impact on those who believe God's word of promise. God bought you back. He redeemed you in the blood of his Son. He forgives your sins. He promises you eternal life in paradise. He gives you hope that brings joy to your soul in an otherwise meaningless life. In the meantime, God does not begrudge you the fruits of your labor. Eat, drink, and be merry at your dining table at home. Enjoy what God has provided for you. And if you have an abundance, and many of us do, many of us in this rich country, enjoy your wealth even more by sharing with those in need. For good works have been prepared for you to do even before you were conceived. See Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Dear ones, we walk all day long knee-deep in opportunities to serve our fellow man, and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Your wealth and possessions are a gift from God. Enjoy your wealth and the ability to share your wealth. As the second Adam, who paid for the sin of the first Adam and the whole world, Christ Jesus shares the abundance of forgiveness that he earned by his suffering on the cross. He has paid for your sins and bought you back. And there's nothing you can do about it except reject it He shares freely and abundantly the forgiveness of sins that he earned for you. Come, receive God's gifts given in Christ to you and for you at his holy table where we commune. With repentant joy, take and eat and take and drink. This is a gift from God. You have not earned it. It is given for you to forgive your sins and to strengthen your faith. You are wealthy in Christ. Receive his abundant gifts with joy, both in this life and in the life to come. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.